Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Welcome, Emma.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
How old is your daughter now?
2.5.
Okay. Yeah. So it was a sweet little minute ago, and I've never really heard the entirety of your story. So I'm excited for that. So take us to the beginning. Who are you before you get pregnant? What are you up to? What are you about? What's your relationship like with birth? Have you thought about it much? I know you take RBK pre-pregnancy. And that's kind of all. And I know you're an herbalist. That's about it. So just kind of paint this picture of who you are before you do this. And then at what point does sovereign pregnancy and birth come into your consciousness? And then you'll just articulate your journey with that.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I would say before pregnancy, before even wanting to get pregnant, I grew up in a household of like kind of ecologists and natural scientists. So I was always really interested in the natural world and found, you know, like the plant path. I think I was 17. I had a really beautiful experience where the cedar tree told me to bring this medicine to the people. So I like had this psychic experience that was really profound. Whoa. I didn't tell anyone about it, but totally lifted all these layers and veils from my eyes. So I think that was one of the first sort of experiences. And as I meandered down the plant path that I guess began like cultivating my intuition and building a relationship with my intuition. And that was, you know, I guess probably one of the biggest ways that we can, you know, receive information from the living world. Like looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, that helped hone this, this trust, this confidence, to choose sovereign birth, basically to trust my body, and to trust, you know, nature unfolding. So I also, when I was 17, became an anarchist, and I was like a primitivist anarchist. Like I've always been drawn to, you know, like the sort of primal, archaic, like the old ways, I would say. And that was the beginning of a whole, whatever, big process. But I spent a lot of time critiquing in community modernity, really, and like the medical industrial complex, especially once I started walking the plant path and saw just the incredible beauty and bounty all around us that's healing us. I was just really kind of disgusted with the medical industrial complex. It just was so obvious that it's not healing, like just full stop at all. I grew up with, my mom never liked the doctor's office, but like we went, I was fully vaccinated. I had antibiotics, like all that stuff. But yeah, that was one arm of sort of the system, the complex, the powers that be, that was just really disturbing to me. So I think in the back of my mind, I never thought like hospitals are weird. So it's like, I could never have a baby there.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So I met my ex when I was 18. He was also in that sort of political sphere. And it was really common at the time, probably still is a thing, I would imagine, in more radical like queer circles, but like having kids wasn't cool. Like people were breeders and it was just like, oh, that's fucking up the earth. And so there was this kind of like, and I was like in my early 20s and my mom had me when she was in her 30s. So it wasn't really on my radar. When I turned, I want to say 25, 26, my like biological clock kind of was like, oh, wait, actually, that would be really cool. I do want to be a
A
mom.
classic liberal tale.
Wasted those precious years, but no, I lived a great life. I did a lot of cool stuff. My Saturn return hit ended that 8-year relationship, and it was really healing and powerful. I went back to college, got a bachelor's of science in restoration ecology, which I won't probably do that ever do that, but moved in with my now husband. Yeah, fell in love after this really hard breakup. Actually got really sick because the house he was living in Olympia, Washington, which is notoriously gnarly, was like totally infested with black mold. I had no idea about that whole world, fell really into it, fell really, it was scary. I had a lot of stuff going on, lots of gut stuff, lots of immune stuff, hormone stuff, whatever. And it was really destabilizing and scary. And we had been talking about wanting to have a child, but I had this really visceral, actually before I found out about the mold, but after moving into that house, this like, oh, this shiver of just like, no, not here. And he was like, okay. And I was like, I cannot. And then we found out later that the house was like terribly unsafe. So my body was just like not safe to have a baby in.
So you were in Minnesota with the ex, and then you moved to Washington to be with new guy.
I was actually in Washington when broke up with the ex. Yeah, I
Oh,
had lived
okay.
in Minnesota with the ex
Previous.
4 years before. Yeah,
So
totally.
because
But
the
moved back to
seeds,
the
because you're
West Coast.
currently in Duluth, so the seeds
Yeah.
get planted. You're not from Minnesota, but you lived
No,
there and
I
loved
love
it.
the land. Yeah.
Okay, and then
Love the
moved
land.
on to Washington, meet
Yeah.
new guy, dying from black mold, and you need
Terrible.
to get out of there, and then you come back here. Okay.
Yeah. And then pandemic hit too. It was like the very first. We got married in the courthouse the week before everything closed, the pandemic. So we haven't had our cute official wedding, but we have the legal one. But yeah, he had known that I really loved this land and this place, and we started looking for homes, and it felt prohibitively expensive. So, anyways, we just took a leap and moved out here. And I was still enmeshed, kind of in the like, oh, just like parasite cleanses, coffee enemas, like that whole space, because that's, you know, that I know it's so
It is like a weird culture of like a certain, there's
culture.
a certain personality that who's like always cleansing and
Yeah.
like it's kind of sad actually.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I hit a point where I was like, wow, it doesn't feel good to think of myself as a bucket full of toxins. Like, and I'm
Exactly.
just overflowing, and that's why I'm sick. And it was
Exactly.
just so. Also, I shifted environments, got rid of so much of my stuff. I couldn't part with my books because my books are like my babies. I have a huge library. But I did all the right things, and I wasn't really healing. I wasn't seeing any shifts. So this was, we had been here for like 8 months or something. We have a gorgeous home here, beautiful, no mold, just sunny, bright, gorgeous. And I stopped all the herbs, all the supplements, all the protocols, like was didn't call my naturopath back. I was like, I'm doing my own thing. And I started a kind of, it's like a brain retraining program. You've probably heard of it, DNRS, but it's just all about retraining the limbic system. And it was really profound and incredible. And I had the resolution of all the symptoms, and I felt incredible. And probably 3 months into that, I remember waking up, like literally sitting up in bed. I need to have a baby, like now. Like, we need to have a baby now. It was just a total lightning bolt moment. You know, my husband and I had been talking, Sylvie and I had been talking about it, and he knew. I was excited for a home birth, and I'm kind of, my timeline's a little looping around, but back before I met Sylvie, I found the Free Birth podcast. And like so many other women who I've heard on the podcast and, you know, other women I've talked to, it was a just really classic light bulb moment. It was like, oh, just having your baby is birth. Like, having your baby at home is birth. I don't think I had thought about it much more than that. Like I was, identified as a primitivist and, look with inspiration at sort of how humans have lived for most of our history. But I think maybe I hadn't done the work to think about, okay, what did that actually look like? Was there always like a midwife there? And,
Not
in the last, not at all, no, in the
right.
last few
Yeah.
years, I would love to like have a project around this and like record more of this because I love the like old ethnographies and like all the archaeological, anthropological data and stuff. And it's extremely common, like you probably know, that for women to go off and birth themselves, like alone, like that was more common.
Which does just
So,
make logical sense that
yeah.
a biological act was done independently. Like, of course, I'm not saying that there haven't been midwives, but there is this romantic, as far as I'm aware, pretty unfounded idea that women always had midwives, and midwives were the da
I
da da
don't
of
think
everything, of
so.
everywhere, of all time. And like that just doesn't logically make sense.
Yeah, I agree. Especially once you've gone through the portal and experienced, or I mean, like I did a really actually super straightforward, simple physiological birth. It's like this doesn't have to be some crazy complex thing. In fact, I would say the majority of time throughout history, it has been that simple.
Well, and it makes me wonder if the reason we're so drawn to midwives now, which I'm in full support of, obviously, it's the other branch of what I do, is because of how warped our relationship to our bodies and birth have become, right? Because why do we need a shaman shepherd to take us over the threshold of our own biology, like of our own biological act? Why? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything negative about it, but it is something to kind of chew on in my mind. And if it was more normalized, if we did feel more whole and spiritually connected and resourced and simplified, if there wasn't all this baggage, which we can't really un like just like a fantasy that we could imagine who we would be without that. It just makes me guess that it would have just been another day. Not an important day, but just go off, do the thing, come back.
Yeah, I agree. So where was I? Oh, found your podcast, was like, oh, I'm on a free birth. That makes the most sense. I would never go to a hospital. I'm not judging anyone else, but that's makes me feel really uncomfortable in my body. Like I wouldn't do that at all. And I went through the RBK school. I want to say I was 3 months pregnant. I don't think
Oh,
I
okay.
was showing very much. We would
I don't
sometimes do
remember
bump
that.
check, but it was like really small still, sadly. Going through the RBK school was really powerful and really healing because many, many, many years ago, I like toyed with the idea of becoming a midwife. I was like, oh, do I want to be a midwife? I felt really drawn to the like wise woman archetype. And in my mind, that was she was a healer and she held, the sacred round, the blood, sex, birth, death, like sort of those mysteries, the woman's mysteries. And that just was so woven into the archetype in my mind. And I like, yeah, kind of thought about it. I think I was living in Seattle, so it was best years, alternative midwifery program. And I was just really turned off by how medicalized it was. It was just, yeah, extremely medicalized. So going through the RBK school was really healing and beautiful and kind of just like put these pieces back together in me of like, oh yeah, actually, like, I don't think it's what you're saying, this like Hollywood version of the midwife, though I think there were wise women who existed and had skills for sure from just witnessing babies being born if they were invited. But that is this yeah beautiful archetype that I still have access to and can engage with in integrity. That's your whole
It's just
thing.
like sisterly.
Yeah, it's kind of
It's
just
just,
women's ways in a
yeah,
way. I'm
it's
like, this
just
is just
sisterly
women's
to
ways.
attend your friend's birth if she wants you there, to babysit
Yeah.
her kids, or to make her some food, or to clean up. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be this hierarchical wise woman whole thing, that's great too,
Absolutely.
whatever, fine. Women want all the different stuff, but it's also just so basic, so sisterly, so neighborly, so simple.
Yeah, and inherent in that too is just that, like, oh yeah, for lots of time, birth was really uncomplicated. So it's like if you're really attached to the wise woman hierarchy, it's like she's the one with all the like skills for extreme situations. But right, most of the time, your women with you or you by yourself is totally enough. Okay, so I sat bolt upright in bed. I said, oh my gosh, I want to have a baby. We had been putting it off for a while because of all my health stuff, and I was trying out the brain retraining, which worked amazingly. And got pregnant within like 2 weeks. It was very easy, very fast. Which I wasn't sure would happen. I had been told by an OBGYN, oh my gosh, I think I was 15 or 14 when I first started bleeding, that I would have a really hard time having children. I had
Fuck off.
PCOS and I got the Gardasil vaccines and like who knows, whatever. I think it did
Why
some weird stuff.
is an OBGYN talking to you at 14?
Well, because my first cycle, I was bleeding so heavily. Like it was like heavy. This was a long time ago, but it was like scary. It was super heavy. Because I'm pretty sure, I don't know the exact timeline, but yeah, got some Gardasil vaccines. Not great. I don't know if I should have said that name on here. You can always
Why
blur it
not?
out or whatever. Yeah. But my cycles were really long. I was regularly ovulating, but sort of the luteal phase, sometimes it was 2 months. And I had some anxiety about that. I thought, I don't believe that person. They don't know anything, but there was fear layers. And I spent some time connecting with, which I now realize wasn't my own, but like the just well of grief that is wanting a child and not being able to conceive one. And I was just in this weird storm of that for a while. And then I was like, actually, that's not mine. You haven't even tried, Emma. You haven't tried and failed. What are you doing?
God, it's just
Yeah.
a story.
It's a story. It's a story. Oh, yeah.
Isn't
So.
it so crazy though that that story being put on you so young could have, had you not gotten to a place of curiosity or maturity or responsibility, whatever the right word is, you would have just made that story be true. This is what we do, right? If we don't question the spells put on us, we just actualize them and just think we're at the effect of them, and they just are what they are, and then it creates our entire reality. It's so wild.
Oh yeah, like I could have accidentally manifested the opposite, which would have been, infertility, but my little girl wanted to come in at that time, and she did. She was conceived like Beltane, just about May 2nd, that little fertile, beautiful window. And I loved being pregnant so much, so much. Like, I knew from the moment of conception, like, my hormones did a complete 180. Like, I'm maybe a bit more, kind of like type A, higher energy. And I went from that to just so zen, so peaceful, like immediately after conception. And those just really sweet, calm, pregnancy space hormones were so nice. I loved it. I felt so chill. I think that I had already had a really strong conviction to have a sovereign birth before conceiving. Sylvie and I had talked about it a fair bit. My husband and I hadn't really obviously shared that with anyone else because I wasn't pregnant yet. But I wished I could explain maybe more of like the process behind it. I think the sort of my path, the plant medicine path I had been on, really honed and strengthened my intuition. The first part of that path, the first half, was maybe more, I was more into like biochemical, like organ systems and stuff like that. And then I found a teacher who taught me basically shamanic practices within the context of herbalism, but beyond. She was kind of my witchy teacher, and she really opened my psychic world, my spiritual world.
Cool.
That my working with my intuition, my knowing was a huge part of my spiritual practice. So I think that that was a really big part of it. I had identified for a long time with that archetype. I think it was Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes. She talks about the one who knows, la que sabe, this entity, kind of grandmotherly, wise one, but like the one who knows. I always felt connected to just this, I know. So there was just a, this is what I'm doing. This makes sense. There was not a shred of doubt. And yeah, that ended up, panning out. I was humbled at some point in the process there, postpartum more than birth, but I think I just felt this really incredible, yeah, confidence. And I will say the RBK school, your and Yolanda's teachings were really, really powerful and integral too. There was a that really fed my sort of maybe more like analytical mind in a way where I'm just like, okay, yo, I actually know here are the small handful of actual complications.
Do you feel a deep calling within your spirit to walk with women in a sovereign and spiritual way? What if I told you there was a mentorship program that teaches about birth work rooted in the consciousness of true sovereignty, integrity, and serves women entirely independent from the medical paradigm? The Matrabirth Midwifery Institute is the gold standard for real sovereign midwifery around the planet that has facilitated a great remembering of what true and authentic midwifery really is. The program is divided into four distinct quarters. First, for 3 months, we teach and practice the tools of self-mastery. Then we lay everything down that you need to know about sovereign midwifery for the next 12 weeks. From there, we teach you how to actually teach what you just learned through coaching, childbirth education classes, and of course, taking one-on-one midwifery clients. We end our last quarter with building out your business from the very first nitty-gritty steps all the way through launch. This is a tried and true formula-based, power-packed business school that wraps up the entire year together so that you are ready to get into the world and fully stand in your mission successfully and sustainably. I'm extremely proud of what we've created. The results in the students speak for themselves. They're totally transformed, clear on who they are, making money from a place of purpose, teaching sovereign childbirth education, attending births outside the medical paradigm, leading circles, and changing their communities for the better. The MMI curriculum is the cutting-edge pathway where independent midwifery meets leading birth business school meets life-changing consciousness leadership tools. The Matrabirth Midwifery Institute only runs once a year, so drop your name on the waitlist below to learn more when we begin registration for the next round. A sovereign birthwork career awaits you, and we are here to help you make it happen.
Like I was excited. I had my little binder. I was excited to like talk to my family if they were all worried about it. I was like, wait, let's talk about it. My mom had a lot of fear and she wasn't willing to really talk about it. One of her fears was a cord wrapped around her neck. And I was like, Mom, that's like the easiest. There's literally no problem. It's actually adaptive. Did you know that? She's a scientist. She should be into it. But no one really wanted to hear me proselytize about it. Surprise, surprise. But I did have so many people. My circle was really curated and everyone was so just trusted me. My husband, Sylvie, was great. He definitely felt really good. Like we have a lot of the same, I guess, ways of thinking. I mean, he kind of got real and was like, okay, but like if you're incapacitated, like it's up to me and that's scary, like to make decisions. And I was kind of like, yeah. Yeah, we just had the conversations around what that could look like, what would happen, worst case scenario stuff, and really just sat with that. And it was really liberating, actually, to kind of just sit with what's the, worst that could
Yeah.
happen.
It's interesting though, like, I mean, I've been attending birth for a very long time and never once have I seen a woman be incapacitated. Like, it just is made up.
It's in the
There are
fucking
so many
movies.
other ways that are more likely, car accident, even choking on your own food. It's interesting because we always go to that. That's what the partners always do. And what if you're unconscious? Why would you be unconscious?
Right. Your body is flooded with like like
Why
you're
would you
doing this
be
really important
unconscious?
thing.
What are you talking about? It's such a like funny made up. You're not going to be unconscious.
Well,
That's
my mom
so
had a lot of fears around, if something bad's going to happen, it happens so fast. And I was kind of like what?
yeah.
Like what? But yeah, you know how it is. It the cultures, like, oh my gosh, media is wild. I mean, those are the stories we're told in our culture. That's so those are the stories that make up our consciousness.
Totally. Except
A
that,
home
like,
is an
people
exam of that.
forget that, like, TV's not real. It's, like, yes,
Oh.
I get that you have watched movies of these things, but, like, those were just movies. Those were not documentaries.
Also intentionally dramatized because
Of
that's what you're
course.
paying for, the
You know
drama.
how
So,
boring a document, like, you know how boring media around birth would be if it was like our births? It's like, oh, she like walked around and complained and grunted and
just
it's not
another
gonna
day. Yeah, just it was like kind of one of the most mundane things you did, but also
Yeah.
miraculous.
The actual emergence is very interesting because a person's coming out of a person, but before that, it's not really that interesting.
Especially, I think for an observer, I think it's,
Right.
the initiatory experience
Right.
for
No,
what you
yeah,
have
it's
to
for the
go
woman
through.
birthing, there's a lot going on. I mean, for sure. Okay, so then you chose a totally wild pregnancy.
I
And
didn't participate in anything. I
yeah.
didn't really even do that much research. I think I emailed, there was a unlicensed midwife here in Duluth, and I emailed her about birth certificate stuff because I was like, oh, I kind of just like want to think about that. I don't think I'll want to think about that later. And she kind of tried to say, I'm here if you need it. First births are crazy, da 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 da. And I was like, I'm good.
She said first births are
Yeah,
crazy.
my prenatal, she said first births, yeah.
Okay.
Which is really, I mean, that's such a common
Weird thing
thing.
to say to a
So
first time mom.
yeah, it's gonna be extra hard this time. So yeah. Lots of women say that. Just for my first one, I want help.
Well, you need to prove to society that you can do it. I mean, look, I'm not denying that first births do tend to be longer, and because it's an initiatory, new landscape, yes, it has like its own work, but I don't think it's cool to say they're crazy.
Yeah, I was unfazed. I was like, I'm so excited. My mindset going into birth was like, oh, just that I know, and now I know having been through it, that it's just this really incredible like peak life experience. And I was really like kind of like an athlete. I was just like, yo, like I want to see what I'm made of. Like I want to do this. I definitely had been thinking about and talking about and, reading about just the incredible initiatory nature of this whole experience for female humans, and was very like, I'm ready for this initiation. Like, I want this to be a holistic, multi-level initiation for me and for my family and for my lineage forward and backwards. That was my hope, my prayer. So yeah, didn't get
Well,
any. Oh,
I
go ahead.
appreciate you. Yeah, actually, like walking the walk, because I see a lot of women identify as holistic and into consciousness raising stuff, and then they go get induced and have their C-sections and think their baby almost died. And, I say that like I'm not like dogging on them. It's just, it is like objectively out of congruence. Like it just is. And everyone is where they're at. And like, of course, that's fine. But it is really cool to see women really walk the walk they say they're on, And you obviously did so much previously, that just like on the core stuff, not even birth related, just on the really like, who am I and who am I in this world and with this world? And, even the self-healing process is such a big affirmation of what you're capable of. And yeah, I mean, I can see the steps and what that gives you.
Thank you. Yeah, that self-healing was integral to feeling ready to face, birth and all of that.
Well, it sounds like you've got a bit of a postpartum story, so let's do the
Yeah,
birth
let's go through it.
story
Let's go through the
time for
story.
that.
Yeah, so I was pregnant, loved being pregnant. It was awesome. I ate a bunch of food. I did the liver. I took a bunch of saunas. We live in the north. It's
If I
cold.
did the liver. Oh, you
I
ate
ate
liver.
liver. Yeah, ate liver, ate nutrient-dense food. I was eating fish eggs because there's wild fish running, whatever, all the stuff, all the good
Fun.
stuff. Probably the biggest component of my prenatal care that I intentionally leaned into was, yeah, the spiritual, like making, building relationships and sort of figuring out how my spirits, my ancestral spirits, who I work with, could be with me, who wanted to be with me, support this process, kind of on the non-material plane, basically the invisible world. So that was my main thing that I did, and that was just kind of whether with a drum or just quiet or whatever. I did lots of journeys or sort of meditations. And basically, I was always assured, like, my baby's so strong. She's so ready to be here. Like, she's just a light. She knows how to do this. I was really brought into very often this, like this sense of, like, okay, I'm birthing. I'm literally birthing in the, like, I'm moving forward my mother line. Literally the blood lineage. I will birth my baby. She has my blood. She has my mother's blood. It goes forward and backward. But I was even pulled back through, all the human mothers, the sort of ancestral mothers, to like the animal mothers. That was something that was so surprising to me, but really grounding. I had so many visions where I was like a she bear in the den, like birthing, like she's in a trance. She's dreaming. She's hibernating. She's having her baby. She's nursing them, like in this really incredible, beautiful cocoon. Like, my gosh, European peoples, northern people historically have been so drawn to the bear as like a mother archetype. But I was really feeling that, and it was so comforting to me because, I mean, I don't know, I should remember this. I think it's like hundreds of millions of years mammals have been giving birth this way. I want to say it's like 345 million. I don't want to say an exact number, I guess, and stick with that, but this is just such a, there's such a long lineage that's even before humans, of this really beautiful process, and it works, and that's our
How were
blood
you?
too.
This was through drumming meditations that you were
Yeah,
becoming a
just
she
kind of
bear?
classic, yeah, kind of classic like shamanic journey. So sometimes I was drumming, sometimes I was listening to a drum track. I had a friend who was supporting me too. Sometimes it was quiet, but they're like little, 10 to 15 minute journeys. They're more self-directed than maybe a guided meditation. Yeah, I had some trippy ones. I had some really trippy ones that were really kind of disorienting and intense, but it was, yeah, also really, really beautiful. So I felt really supported and held in that space. I had a beautiful community here. Like, I kind of had all my needs met. This home is gorgeous. I felt really strong in my body. And kind of having that, I guess, spiritual circle, those kind of, ancestral mothers, the primal matriarchs around me was really, really powerful and just helped me feel, I don't know, even more seen. I think that's so one of the most helpful things about ritual or ceremony is just it is so integrating. It helps us actually like integrate and embody what. Yeah, what's happening and what we want. So, okay, pregnant, loved being pregnant, great. So
Well,
she was
it just
born.
makes me think about how many women I talk to about how alone they feel in their pregnancies. And it's like, then do something, like connect to all of the animals and the plants and the elements and the line that is available to you. Like, it's crazy that you feel alone. You're completely surrounded, and it's obviously just blocks and they don't see that yet and da 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 da. But if you are listening to this and you feel alone, try drumming, try connecting, try, you don't have to like be some experienced self-identified witch to like open up these pathways in your own psyche that are not just a part of the living world, like are the living world, it's all right here for you. But even something, yeah, so cool to sit and drum. Like, what happens? What happens if you just talk to the trees? Or, like Sister Morningstar says, just poop outside. You want to get wild? You want to connect to your instinct? Just
Yes.
outside. I love
Yeah,
that.
totally. You don't have to be a crazy shaman to do that at all. It can just be as simple as opening your heart. And yeah, that's really beautiful. I so agree. My ancestral mother said that to me, that it makes me emotional, but they're like, we were waiting for you. You were the first in a long line of women who wanted this, who wanted their grandmothers and their people, like, with them, and we're meeting maybe birth with, I don't know, I guess courage and with a brave
Yeah,
heart,
reverence.
which I think is the, like, actual ancestral woman's path. That's what this path, I think it's a lot of things, but that's a big component of the path.
So, how did your ancestral mother communicate this to you? It was in a shamanic meditation
Speaking, yeah,
thing,
speaking usually.
but in one of these trance-like meditations.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
Cool.
there was one specific one, like, it was really beautiful. Actually gave me ideas for sort of how in the real world, like, I could support mothers in a blessing way capacity, but just really beautiful. Like, and I've been doing this sort of, like, work for a while. So my and I'm like a highly sensitive person. So, like, I have very rich visions and whatever, and everyone can get there, but mine are maybe kind of, yeah, detailed. But yeah, I was in a cave. I specifically said, who are the ancestors of my lineage who want to be here, who know the
Right.
birth ways, who know the who hold the wisdom of these mysteries, these women's mysteries that include, moon time, that include sexuality, that include birth, that include, like, the milk mysteries, motherhood, like, all of that. Like, that's just a circle to me, the sacred round. So, and some came forward and it was so beautiful. They're, like, braiding my hair, braiding flowers into my hair, and, like, oh, just, like, anointing me with oil, and, like, just so many
Wow.
beautiful things that I've, seen a few images of women getting their feet bathed, and but it was so incredible. And they said, like, we are here for you. We will hold you. You can squat and we will hold you. Like, we're not swayed by the intensity. We're so proud of you. We're here.
It's
It'll
making
make
me
me
think,
cry,
like,
but yeah.
yeah, and I'm crying too. It's making me think, like, who of us have ever even thought to ask that? Like I just said, it's right here, but like I've never thought to sit down and ask that, and the message that they're like, it's just making me think about, I don't have a strong connection with plants, and a couple of times I have gotten to have it, or I've been like open enough to receive it, and getting to meet lavender and rose in this one specific ceremony, and they were like twirling around me, and they were like, we've always been here, like we've always been wanting to play with you, like we are just right here, girlfriend. And I was like, wait, what? And they were like, yeah, you haven't been listening, you haven't been open to it yet. And I just remember being like, what? Just totally ch changed my of what's possible, my entire perspective of what's possible. Yeah. Anyway, that's so beautiful and inspiring. That's really
Didn't
beautiful.
think it would go that direction, but yeah, honestly, life-changing. Like,
And I guess for you already have had these spiritual psychic experiences of plants talking to you. So it kind of seems like an obvious thing to be like, hey, historical, matriarchal mother line, what you got?
yeah.
Just, you
Well,
are here, so
I
tuned
actually
to
took a really
listen.
in-depth training on specifically working with the ancestors. It was, like, maybe if it was a few years ago, so that, like, helped me get the language, and I built the relationships, and
Who was
yeah,
that
it's really not
to?
that different though.
That's
His
cool.
name's Daniel Four.
Daniel Four. Cool.
I don't know where he's probably still doing stuff now.
Well, are you like at the level of comfort with this stuff that you could like do something at MRF next summer and like guide a whole thing and take us
Meet the
there?
ancestors? Yeah. I would, yeah. Yeah, I
Oh.
mean, I would hold space. I do a lot of teaching and I like to hold space. I wouldn't do maybe like healing work for people. That's kind of, I guess, next level. That's like more like actual shamanic, but I would love to hold, oh my gosh, I would love to hold space. I was just telling Sylvia, I was like, I need to go down Matriarch Rising next year. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, great. It's a date.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're pregnant, you're
Hi.
loving it, you're meeting all the beautiful guides.
They're
What
here.
happens?
Yeah, it's great. So February 4th, my belly was so big. I had a friend come in town, who I was excited to be at the birth. She doesn't have any official birth experience, but like we are really close, share a lot of kind of cosmological spiritual beliefs. I was excited for her to hold space spiritually, even if it was just holding down the altar, like just tracking what's going on. She's incredibly gifted as well in that realm. And I thought maybe I may not be that there. I'm going to be in my process. So she was about to leave, and I was all sad because I had just chosen ahead of time. I was like, I'm just going to come around 40 weeks. Like, I have no idea. Gosh, 2 days before she was about to leave, my belly was so big and so much lower. And that morning, it was a gorgeous, like 0 degree day here, just so sparkly, beautiful, freezing midwinter. I had a little bit of bloody show and some waters. And I was like, this is different. This is great. Okay, cool. But I had been so well trained by you all. I was like, don't, just rule number one, don't get too excited. Don't be wasting your energy. Like, rest, stay chill. So we, made nourishing food. We went on a really long walk. I walked many miles every day in pregnancy. And I was feeling like so gentle. Like, it felt like just tensing a muscle. There's no pain, nothing, but there was definitely bands, kind of horizontal bands tightening around my belly. And I definitely remember earlier in the day thinking, wow, these are really regular, like kind of close, like really regular. But we're like out walking the dog in like 0 degrees. And I'm like, just doing my thing. I think around 5 p.m., it starts getting dark. And I was, we were watching Lord of the Rings, and I'm sobbing just at like, it's so righteous, good versus evil. Like, I don't know. It just was really getting me.
That is
So
the
funny.
best pre-birth movie.
There's always hope. Like, it was so epic. I loved it. So nerdy.
That's funny. There's always hope.
But I'm getting uncomfortable. I'm like, oh yeah, actually, it doesn't feel that good to just like lay here on this thing. So I said, hey, Sylvie, you need to come home. He came home. We ate dinner and then went up. My friend's name was Espen, and she was gonna just stay down here. Like, she's not like trying to do anything with the birth, but kind of just like, I'm here, I'm around. Sylvie and I go upstairs, and it's dark now because it's midwinter, and we light a candle and turn on music. It wasn't my birth playlist, but it was just some like honestly, actually really cool, like Tibetan prayer music, like chanting. It was so good, it was perfect. And I was extremely prepared for it to be long and hard, and for it to be super important for me to conserve energy. I'd heard enough from teachers, mentors, other women, like I didn't want to be so exhausted that I couldn't birth my baby. So I'm resting. My everything was my breath. I mean, I had the perfect, it was literally just a dark womb space, one candle flickering, my just really devoted, present, quiet husband just sitting here. I'm in the zone like right away, and it feels amazing. I mean, I don't think I felt intensity like in the moment of her emergence, but before then it felt incredible. I'm laying, I'm pooping a lot. My body's definitely clearing things out, but I'm so calm and just riding the wave of my breath. It's just, I've never, I mean, it's such a deep meditative space you go into. I totally get why women who have gone through come back and say they went to the underworld. Like, it's, you are, yeah, like I felt like I was a mammal, like I was pulled all the way back, like I was saying in my lineage to sort of this like mammalian, just
Oh, yeah.
pre-verbal, pre-human, primal space. It kind of was a blur. It was really beautiful. After a little while, I don't even know how long, I couldn't lay down. So, or that felt uncomfortable. So I sat up. I don't think I said barely any words to him. I just was there, breathing, breathing, opening. I think I don't even know if I had many mantras. I mean, it was just rest and open. That was pretty much it. Breathe, rest, and open, soften and open. Eventually it's more comfortable for me to be kind of standing over on, you know, leaning onto the bed. And then we reach a point, this must have been 9:50 p.m. or something. 5 p.m. is kind of when I would say, I'm officially in labor. Though looking back, likely it was all day because I was having very regular sensations. But you reach a point, and this is all internal, but it was, you know, kind of in the peak of the wave. It was hard. It was really hard. It was uncomfortable. I'm not going to say excruciating, very uncomfortable, very hard. And I remember feeling this, like, looking back, this was transition for sure. This is literally when my cervix opened. But I thought, Emma, you have been a cocky bitch. That's literally what I thought. I was like, you think you can just rock this? Like, if it's like this, I can't do it. I can't do it. This is hard. This hurts. Like, I can't. I didn't say any of this out loud, but it was like in my inner self just fell to her knees and was like humbled. Okay. Mere minutes later, I think I said, I croaked because I just hadn't been talking. I was like, I have to go pee. Which I actually just thought I had to go pee. Because I guess I had heard so many stories. If you ever have to feel like you have to poop, baby's right there. But for some reason, I was like, it's not the same if you have to pee. You just have to pee. It's fine. Had to pee. Walked into, I'm still wearing like slippers and a ratty shirt. I had a friend who was going to come over, a really beloved sister, to take photos. So I was really excited about that. And I was like, okay, just, you know, come over. I wasn't looking cute for my birth. I thought I was just going pee. We go in the bathroom.
Hey, where's the other girlfriend that you love?
She's downstairs.
Okay.
She's chilling. Cause I've been silent this whole, like,
yeah,
I'm not even maybe quiet moaning, but again, it's felt really, it's really sensual. I would say that first part was incredibly sensual. It was just so, yeah, it was very embodied, very meditative. But I sit on the toilet and my body's immediately pushing. And then I'm not going to say I'm screaming or roaring. I'm just like, maybe I'm screaming. Yeah, I'm screaming. I'm saying, you know, I'm like this. And Sylvie's, you know, kind of squatting down in front of me. And I'm like, this is so hard. This is so hard. Emergence was really intense. I also didn't know that she was coming. I was like, I'm pushing. This hurts. This is hard. But I didn't know she was coming out. And I was shocked. Like, this sounds so stupid looking back, but I really thought that I just had to pee. I thought that if I felt like I was pooping, that the baby was there, but she was obviously right pressing on the bladder because there was nothing. My body had already purged all the other stuff. Oh my gosh. So this part happened really fast. I mean, honestly, it was, I want to say like four pushes, and it was totally spontaneous, total fetal ejection reflex. Like, it was totally spontaneous. I was in disbelief for the first part until I reached down and she was, her head was out, her shoulders, she was here, still hanging in there, luckily, because I'm still on the toilet. Not the peaceful, I had kind of imagined, like, just this really like spiritual, meditative, like moment of emergence. And it was so funny. We are laughing hysterically, screaming. I'm sob, like, just, it's crazy. It's a storm of just intensity. So I'm kind of lunging. I get off the toilet. I'm like, she's here. He's like, he doesn't believe me. He looks, oh my God. Put a towel down. She's born. The bathtub's like, I want to say 2 feet away or something. I'm holding onto the edge of the bathtub. I think I was lunging, honestly. I think I was lunging. And she's born, and I was laughing so hard because she was so slippery. I, like, literally neither of us could catch her. We had talked about it ahead of time, and I had totally made fun of people. I was like, oh my gosh, they're so worried about catching the baby, but like, it can't be that. It's like, it can't be that hard. It's right there. So slippery. Little lightning bolt. She shot out too. The water is
covered in goo.
They're covered in goo. My water
so
is
slippery.
Broke when she Not even when she emerged. So they must have, oh my gosh, they must have still been around her. Because the waters broke when she fully came out. She did. I pulled her sort of call off. She had a nuchal cord. She was like a bright red, trying to scream right away.
Just like your
I
mom
was
is so
just,
worried about.
well, I know my little baby knew what she was protecting her airway. Yeah, she's so smart. She knew exactly what to do. She was so ready. Oh. So we also were like 99% sure that it was a boy. I don't know why everyone was telling me that. I felt so sure and connected and whatever, intuitively, blah, blah, blah. I also didn't even look. I did not look at the genitals. I was like, oh, shit, here's a baby. I was pretty aware that I had torn because there was definitely a like very sharp moment sensation. I had written up a kind of thorough, beautiful, not a birth plan, but just to like, here's what's up after going through RBK school. Here's what I want to happen. Here's if, this is what happens right after birth. Mama's warm, laying down. You're getting me food and drinks. Here's herbs to have on hand if we want XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But I shuffle into the bedroom and Naya, well, she wasn't Naya yet then, but just latches right away. And I like, again, there's one candle still in the bedroom, and I did peek down. What I think happened is that her labia must have been swollen from hormones, which I guess is a thing, but it looked like a scrotum. So I was like, okay, we have a son, da-da-da-da, like amazing. I'm thinking that in my delirium. And then my husband comes in like an hour later and is like, do you want me to wipe down your chest a little bit? Because I'd been like, no, don't wipe. I'm not taking a shower. I'm marinating in this. But we were crying, laughing. He's like, that's a girl. Like, what are you talking about? So we're crying. We're laughing so hard. Oh my gosh, my little girl. So surprising.
Well, it's also
Placenta.
such a good, like, you thought it was a boy, so you just like imagined a scrotum.
I don't know. It was very low light, flickering low light. I don't know. You're right. I totally imagined. It's not. I didn't look very well. And her little cord was between her legs still. And we tried to do lotus and it was annoying. But I think I didn't have any urges to birth the placenta till probably, I want to say like 45 minutes, an hour after. I tried once. I was not excited about it. I didn't want to do it, but didn't work. By this time, my good friend, my other friend Peyton had come over and she
The
was just an
photographer.
angel. Yeah, she's an angel. And she brought up a big metal bowl and she brought, I think I used Angelica tincture. I took like 3 drops because I love that plant. It's for my garden. And just talked to my body and said, it's time to release this. And it was really easy. Peyton held me and we had the bowl and Naya's latched on my boob and it was just really easy and easeful and beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Postpartum. I feel like something you said in the RBK school, I really appreciated and resonated with was that, this sort of whole container of like the birth experience, the birth continuum, is a rite of passage and is an initiation. There will be some part of it that is challenging, and that's actually like good. That's for our growth if we want to meet it that way. So for me, like conception, pregnancy, birth, those were beautiful and amazing. Breastfeeding went incredibly well too. I didn't have any challenges there. But for me, postpartum, even with all of my training and my like, I have a list of the 5 physiological needs. I know that this is needed. It was so humbling. I did not prepare to have the circle of women and mothers around me that I needed. I had friends who were bringing stuff and who would come over, but it just like was not enough. Like I actually needed women there a lot of the time to just even be there, to hold my hand, to just spiritual companionship. Like it just, I needed it desperately. I felt so, and I knew this would happen, but I just was really floored by the intensity. I was so cracked open. I was so tender. So sensitive. It was, you can't, I mean, yeah, words are instructive, but like you actually cannot know what it's like to have your a piece of not even, yeah, just like your consciousness, your nervous system, your heart outside of you. Like it's just really different.
And I think so. What happens is that most women, because they don't have the resources internally or externally to navigate that, they just close it up as quick as possible. You know, like, because you can stay in that psychic space for actually a pretty long time, but it requires a certain level of tending that. You know, I'm just thinking about like, you know, the classic like chick that goes to Target on day two. And it's like, yeah, of course. Like, of course, that's what you need to do to close it up and not hang out in that space. Of course. Like, you know, so yeah, I
It's
think that's
kind of
interesting.
self-medicating, self-healing in this way. Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're
So
right.
you
I
had
think.
girlfriends that love you, but they weren't mothers.
That was a piece of it. It's just someone else who in their body has gone through that and is a mother feels different energetically. That's a thing. There's just, I didn't have that. My mom came. That was really sweet. I called her a lot. I had a lot of, just moments like, is this what's going on? Is this okay? I was really rooted in intuitive mothering. I was very like, I know what's sort of the one who knows. Like, I know what's right, I know what's going on.
Wait, did you not have any moms besides your own mom?
My husband's mom didn't come around. I had two moms who would come semi-regularly. A lot of my friends were maidens still, which is really interesting. Well, not that interesting, I guess, but in this newer place that I think we had only been here 2.5 years when she was born. So no, I didn't. We had all the food stuff covered, the body work, the da 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 da, but it was just the lack of mothers and women, specifically mothers around me. I just didn't know. I thought I wanted a like golden bubble of privacy or something because I'm a very private person, and it was just like
Well,
so fucking
I have a
humbling.
theory that I don't know if I'll be able to articulate very well in this moment, but it's essentially around what happens when you have an intact pregnancy and birth. And when you're intact, you get access to new like levels of gifts and like I said, psychic spaces and let's say consciousness. And so man, I wish I had. I like feel like I'm not gonna be able to articulate this how I can see it in my head, but it's like, you know, the hierarchy of needs, it's like all of yours were met. And so you got to get into this really sensitive top layer that like forget about it with someone who had an induction and her baby's in the NICU and da 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 da. She's in such a devastating, you know, trauma response and survival mode that I'm not suggesting that she wouldn't also crave the wisdom of mothers. Like, of course, I'm not saying that that's not available to her. That's a very normal thing to desire when you become a mom. But I do see this piece where it's like, okay, you have everything. You have everything provided. You have everything. And so, and oh my gosh, there's like still things that you need and that are missing that are still not totally whole to our society or our microclimates that we've created. And those little things like that. Like for me, I was it was less about that because I really had that. It was around touch, how much touch I wanted. Because I had the friends, I had the moms, I had my literal mom, and you know, have had Erica who had just had a baby, who she was coming over with her baby. You know, I had all of the social stuff, but it is social. When you're not in a trauma response and when you're not in survival mode, I think it's very normal. What I see around, you know, across the board is it's very social. You want the women laying on your bed. It's just it's a particular type. You don't want a lot of people over, but if they can meet you in that frequency, it's like, look at my baby. Oh my God. It's so social and beautiful, but I kind of back to that like hierarchy of needs. It's like, but if you're in survival mode and no one gives a shit about your birth experience, or you as this postpartum, sacred woman, you're going to just deal with that. Like, you're not going to lay around and be like, oh, I wish I had touch. Like, you can't even find.
Well, yeah, you're like, I'm barely able to do these tasks. Right. I just got stitched up or whatever. Weird. Yeah.
Like, who we are. I mean, this is part of the reclamation in this whole free birth thing, is like figuring out what women are about when we're whole and when we're not injured and when we're not abused and when we're not like surviving. Like, what's the next layer of consciousness and magic and gifts from the world, or beyond, that are available to us? It's like, you can see it. Women talk about this all the time in the free birth world, of this psychedelic postpartum state. And I was in the birth world for over a decade and didn't have one woman mention that shit to me, because they were all, for the most part, born on drugs or birthing on drugs, or, being sexually assaulted at delivery and being stitched up. And I just think you're going to have a harder time accessing that stuff.
Literally the hierarchy of needs. I mean, that's such an interesting theory. I'm getting chills. Just, yeah, there's something there. Yeah, absolutely.
It like unlocks higher levels.
Well, part of me next time, I'm like, okay, not that I need to do anything with that time, but I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, I felt this void of ceremony and of holding and of witnessing. And it was just like, there was a lot of grief around what has been lost. Like, what were the questions and practices, aside from sort of like physiological mother tending? Like, we have, there are various cultures that still have the food traditions and the touch and the body work and all of that. But I'm like, what were the, like, yeah, maybe more like emotional, psychological, like spiritual, like questions, ceremonies, rites? Like, what happened? Because the sensitivity that was unlocked was unreal. And in this specific configuration of reality, that was potentially, I'm not going to say a curse, but that wasn't a blessing. But I'm like, I have to believe in other times it was an incredible blessing.
If it was held, yeah.
Incredible blessing, because what would come through? What could be healed and rewoven and reworked, like, in me? I mean, things were healed. Like, my cycle, 30 days now, my capacity for, which I think is so cool. So many women, whatever, I guess, outside of our space, love to talk about how birth broke their body.
Because it did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not birth. It's obstetrical violence.
It's abuse,
but they don't know the difference,
Yeah.
I mean, it's legit. Like,
yeah,
it really does. When you go through that stuff, it can totally break you, forever numbness, like scar tissue. I mean, PTSD.
Prolapse, XYZ. So, yeah. Who
so
knows?
Hardcore.
I know the internal scar tissue stuff is crazy, but
that's why it's a really delicate but important conversation, because the majority of women are really wounded. They're really wounded out there. They're really being so deeply improperly initiated, and then emerging feeling less than. So then there's all this trauma bonding and Stockholm syndrome and like weird reframing that then, as we see online, like if you say anything about, like intact birth, it's like mom shaming, like all this bizarre cognitive dissonance. And like, that's sad, but also like, if we don't hold down a realm of normal and possible and what's every woman's to actualize, like, we're going to go into the black pit forever. Like, we're going to lose this shit. I mean, this was the whole inspiration of this podcast, was I was like, there is literally no archive that I can find today on the planet that has non-medical births exclusively. It didn't exist. And I was
literally,
like, oh my God, what is happening? Which was literally the whole reason why I was like, okay, so a podcast would be a virtual archive. That's pretty cool. And then anyone from any country with access to internet would be able to listen to it. Okay, let's do it that way. That was the whole thing, was like, what? We're losing it, people. But yeah, there's definitely something to the hierarchy of needs and what happens. And the question I was thinking when you were bringing up ceremony is like, I just love playing with this question with myself and with all my friends, of like, how good could it get?
Yes.
Like, what about next time? What if you had this and this and this and this? What if your husband stayed home? What if blah, 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 blah? You know, what if you had boundaries? Like, what if no one held your baby? You know, and like that, you know, like how good could it be? And we are not wired until we are. I'm wired now. I have wired myself to think that way, but that is like an active rewiring that we all have to do of even framing this question: what do I want? How good could it be? And am I willing to have it? And I know so many women now who are playing in that arena and what they're creating in their lives, their births, their marriages, their businesses. I mean, it's next level. It's so exciting.
So inspiring. Yeah, I don't know what it can be, but I love these conversations and I you're so inspiring. So,
I mean, I even
yeah,
think, of course,
visionary.
like ceremony and stuff can sound kind of grandiose, but you know, to anyone listening, like what I do and when I see a postpartum mom is I touch her feet, I rub her feet. I always bring fresh flowers and you know, for her room, for her visual, you know, pleasure. And I always just say something like, tell me your story. And I don't even mean tell me the story of your birth. I might say, tell me the story of last night. You know, like who's asking you about last night? It's like, well, I lived a thousand lives last night. Like, you know, so much happened last night. So many new things happened, and so many thoughts happened, and so much creativity, and so many memories. And then the baby, and then there was this and this. And there's just like so much going on in those immediate first nights of creation and disorientation. And whew, you're just like still half in. And anyway, so that tell me your story. I love that line. And I say that line a lot to women about focused things and more zoomed out things, because it offers wherever she wants to go. But anyway, like what if we all just said that to each other, you know?
Right, so simple and kind of weird that that's not even normal. Wait, we don't want to hear. I want to hear the birth story. I want to hear all the things or whatever the story is, but
Women
yeah.
do want to hear it.
Want
They
to,
just don't know what they're allowed to do, and they're also alien to these intimate spaces, and they haven't been properly initiated, which is why daughters like ours who grow up in these ways, that gets really exciting, you know, where this is
That's
normal.
That's what I mean, I'm excited for my life too, but
Of course.
to see what our daughters do. Oh, and just how healed they are. I mean, it's hard to put into words to feel the like healing. I mean, having the my ancestral mothers come in and say, we've been waiting for this. Like no one has come in so long. No one has asked us to attend in so long. Used to be so normal. We always came. I mean, that's like the images of like the fates and the sort of triple feminine divinities. Like that's all across Eurasia, probably other parts of the world. I don't know. But that's even like the three fairy godmothers in Sleeping Beauty. Like these, like I would say they precede goddesses. They're just female divinities, divine female beings who oversee the birth mysteries and like women's ways. And this is just, yeah, super old integral stuff. But the amount of oh it's just almost indescribable to t I don't know how to describe it, but like the relief I feel that my daughter was born peacefully and in love, like I could just cry about it for days. It's incredible, incredible. And I know you know this is your entire world, but it like really is the center. I mean, that's why my birth business, which is still fledgling, not doing much, is called the ceremony, is ceremony of birth, because birth is the first ceremony. It is like the nucleus of us. It's so big. It's
Totally.
everything.
Yeah, literally. It's so much to hold. We did this. I just kind of made up this ceremony for MRF this year, and I've never done anything like this before. You know, most of my work's online, and I just was like, I gotta do something for the moms who were improperly initiated. I have to do something for them, because I'm also aware of the women that come who like didn't free birth and you know, had the unexpected C-section or couldn't figure out the nursing, and they project a hierarchy. You know, and they will other themselves. And I know many women have admitted keep themselves from even coming. And, you know, okay, like that's for everyone to decide. But I was like, I know that there's going to be so many women there because I coach so many of them that come and whatever. I got to do something for them. And I didn't even really know what I was going to do until the day of, because that's just like how I am. And oh, it was so big. It was so amazing. And way more women came than I assumed it would be like 12 women that wanted to be reinitiated. And then whoever else was there would we'd like rally around them. But it was like 60 women. And so I talked about like birth trauma in the beginning, and but the reason I'm sharing this here is I talked about like what I require, what I want, what I need in my prayer is that we have a community that can hold all of this, and that we can't ever, become even unconsciously like we can't like fall prey to this nonsense of a hierarchy, or that free birth is better, or that you're a better person, or like any of these weird things that I don't think but get projected onto the stuff that I do and the stuff that we're about. And so anyway, so basically we had so I talked about that, and I talked about, like I said, if you were improperly initiated, you know that. And so today we're going to reinitiate you so that you have a marker in your system to like move on from. We can't change the past, but we can add another layer to what happened. We can add another memory to it, for deeper integration, whatever. And so I framed it, and then I called any woman who wanted to be properly initiated into the circle, and I was blown away by how many, my guess is like 60, came and sat in the middle in this big white tent. And I was like, oh shit, okay, we're gonna need a lot more women to help us with this, because everyone needed at least one person paired to them so that they could speak their story first. And so I like got on the mic and I was like, I need everyone to come to this tent. And so a bunch of extra women came, and everyone, they sat in a circle facing out around this pole, shoulder to shoulder, and were paired to one or two women, and they had like 15, 20 minutes to just speak uninterrupted while the other women just listened consciously and with their hearts, and no crosstalk. So that happened. And then we had them, or what did we do? We sang a song, and then I sister Morningstar taught me this way of blessing wombful women in a village prenatal, but I kind of repurposed it, and they sat in a circle really, really tight because there were so many of them. And then all the other women, so there's probably another 60 to 70, one by one, so it took forever, it took almost 3 hours. One by one, they spiraled through and got down eye to eye and spoke one out breath to the mother to initiate her. So the prompt was, if you were to meet her, if you were to be meeting her day one, day two postpartum, what would you say to welcome her to motherhood? And so I didn't hear what anyone said, because everyone, it was very private. And so everyone did that. My mom was there. She did it. She's like bawling, and everyone just got down eye to eye, heart to heart, and just moved. And like literally 60 or 70 of us did it. So these women were bombarded, like, I mean, hours of all of this love and touch and seeing and hugging and crying and all of this stuff. And some of them had their babies and some didn't. And go, some women were reinitiating from 15 years ago, right? And so then we did that, and then sang a beautiful song and drummed and did all of that while it was happening. And then we did this angel wash where it was like the final closing, where they go through the, the love tunnel of the arms above with everyone whispering to them, all these beautiful things. And then they emerge through the tunnel and are properly initiated with a hug and rose water, all the sweetness. And it was so cool. It was so beautiful and so cool. And now that our community that came, has that, it was, I think it was equally as powerful for the women who held and who, were in the wings and were like my helpers as it was for the mothers themselves. But I feel like it's this beautiful example of what is possible in the power of women, and with the highest of intentions of sisterhood, of how we can hold it all, because so many women in our community are hurting and are so wounded and have been really done dirty, you know? And then so many of us haven't. And how do we heal, you know? And how do we just keep that spiral moving and just being light and loving? And it was such a cool, beautiful, profound opportunity to practice that.
That's incredible.
It was really cool.
I mean, I love you kind of answered your question, like, how do we do that? And I'm like, there's probably lots of ways, but communal ceremony,
Lots of
it's
ways.
incredible. Like, potentially one of the oldest human technologies. I mean, there's something so special that happens in people. I mean, community's thrown around all the time, but like in community with a group of
In
people,
person.
energy is so amplified and like it just becomes really powerful. That's
Like the, yeah,
beautiful.
with my work on the screen is like, all right, I'll do this because I know how far it can go, but only if you guys come play with me here. Like, we can touch
We
it,
can
we can dance, we can
actually
cry, we
do.
can, like,
Oh,
I have to have this part if I'm gonna live my
yeah.
life on this fucking screen every day, which I am willing to do, and I'm so grateful I get to do it. But it's so my rule when I do stuff in person is if I can do it online, I'm not gonna do it. I'm only gonna do stuff in person that we can only do in person. So we're gonna
Yes.
touch, we're gonna, you know, there's just a whole arena of ceremony that can only be done heart to heart, you know, hand to hand, and can't be done through the screen.
Oh, it's incredible.
Well, I'm
Well,
glad you're
you're
coming
all
next
good.
year.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming. Yes.
Confirmed.
Ooh, just haven't decided
Thank
if I'm bringing
you.
Naya or not, but I think it'd be so special to have a daughter there, but also would make it harder.
Well, I guess by the time this episode comes out, we will have already broken the news, but we're doing no kids next year.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, we're cutting from 12 months to 4 years.
So
We
like
can't.
babes in arms, fine, obviously, but yeah, I mean,
Just.
you should just long term have a kids festival, which you're probably already thinking. No,
No, I
okay,
have literally no interest in that. You do that.
I don't
I
want to do that
don't
either.
want to do that at all.
I don't want to do that either. I want the
Well,
women's
that's what the
ministries
toddler moms want
space.
MRF to be, a kids festival.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's actually not the event I'm interested in making at all. I would like to put on an event for you, not
No, I want to
for
push my edge and go on a trip without my daughter
yeah.
for a bit.
Well, so
I
she's
would,
two and a half.
yeah.
It would be, she'd be almost three and a
Fine. She's
half.
going to be fine. She nurses morning and night and it's chill and I'm not worried about it.
And she probably won't be in another year. I mean, most likely. That's, she certainly could survive without
Oh,
it.
yeah, she's robust. We're good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean, of course, I love the idea of like everyone having their kids there and blah, 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 but that toddler age, it's just so disruptive to how deep we can go, and having no screaming, because the four and ups go to kids camp. So they're fine. And we're gonna do a kids camp like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So they're gonna be totally happy. And then of course you have to bring babies, of course, and those are not really the issue. But yeah, the like one to fours, they're nuts. And that's their job to be nuts, of course.
And they're Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a mother running a festival like this or a gathering like this to kind of be in you're in your integrity and saying like actually like it is of the highest service that mothers can be in a space or maidens because I'm sure maidens come
Of
too
course,
in
yeah.
a space where our consciousness is not fractured by the constant like distraction of a
Everything.
child. Like that is even just that is so incredibly healing and reparative and like
Exactly.
everything.
Well, my original intention for the festival was for mothers to come as a reprieve of their motherhood, like persona or whatever. And, you know, I think a lot of them do. But anyway, yeah, I feel good about it. I've actually never wanted that age group to be there, but I kind of just dealt with it every year because it felt kind of messed up to say that that's like not okay. But I got real clear this year when I saw toddlers screaming in Kristen and Nancy's faces while they're leading a ceremony, and the toddler moms didn't have the whatever to remove them. I was like, no, you've lost privileges. I'm done. Done with this. No more. It's for the betterment of the entire container, which I know is going to piss some of y'all off, and I do apologize.
But it reminds me when you were teaching us about women's circles, where you're like, actually, no, kids aren't here. This is not the space for that. You're with your kids all the other time. That's great. Yeah, it's not
They
the
take
time.
up enough space.
Exactly.
All right,
I know.
girlfriend. Thank you so much for your time and your story, Madison. It was really one of my favorites, actually.
Thank you, Emily. So good to just be with you.
I
And
know, I missed you.
yeah, me too. Yeah, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love, everything with intention, death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars, conscious.